May 28, 1985, at the Reeves Home, 1184 Green Valley Road, Watsonville, California. Arrangements for this interview were made by the Oral History Committee, which is jointly sponsored by the American Association of University Women, Watsonville Branch, and the Pajaro Valley Historical Association. Eldora Snyder, Volk Museum Archivist, is the interviewer. Let's go back to your high school days, Irma. You say that your parents were strict. What did you mean?
Well, I would call it strict. As I said, my folks wouldn't let me go out with boys alone. I always had a chaperone. Dad would pick me up in the car after parties. We had some parties at in the church hall and some in private homes. But they would allow boys to come to my house. There was a boy in my drawing class that I was rather sweet on, and he kind of liked me too. He asked me to go to a public dance with him at the Civic Auditorium, and I was really thrilled. And I went home and asked my mother if I could go, and she said, "Well, it's okay with me if you ask your dad." So I asked my dad. He said, "Well, Aunt Irma, if your mother goes with you, it's okay." So when the boy called to take me to the dance, I took my mother and my two brothers with me. But he never asked me to go any place with him after that.
Oh. That's too bad. How did you meet your first husband? And how old were you?
I was about 16, a junior in high school, when I met Creston through a mutual friend, B. Caudill. Right after I met him, there was a Christmas party in Corralitos, and he asked me to go to that party. And of course, I was in seventh heaven, but it ended up where I had to take my mother with me. But I was proud to have her, because she was a wonderful person. I was engaged 1 year before I told my parents, and I was so thrilled with my diamond ring. I used to look at it every night, but they didn't see it. And we were both very much in love.
Oh. When did you and Creston marry?
Creston worked part-time for my dad. Mr. Kennedy went blind, and my dad had to take over his duties as taxi driver. And we were married at my home on First Street. It was just a small wedding, family wedding. And the Aldridge family were there, and I was very, very fond of them. They were they're lovely people. My dad passed away just 2 months before our wedding. Oh. I wanted to postpone it, but my mother said, "No, it's bad luck to postpone a wedding." So we got married, and we went to San Francisco on our honeymoon.
Did you have a shower? Did they do that in those days?
Yeah, I had two showers. Mostly linen and lingerie, but it's not like today. We were happy with odds and ends to start housekeeping in those days. I had one set of good dishes and some pots and pans that were given to me, also quilts and comforters. And
did you have a hope chest?
Oh, yes. I had worked on my hope chest for several years, and I had it full. And it was really a lot of fun setting up housekeeping.
Where did you set up your first housekeeping?
Well, as I said before, we lived in Woods Court at first.
Where was that?
That was on 2nd Street, right near the auditorium. Then we moved to a five-room house in Casterly District when I became pregnant. That was about 6 months after we were married. And Bobby, his name is Robert Creston, was born there in that Casterly home. And
what year?
That was April the 15th, 1926. And my mother was ailing, and she wasn't well, so we moved back to town and lived in Rodriguez and First Street so as to be near her. That house is owned by Mr. Riboni.
Today?
I don't know about today. It's still there in very good condition.
When did you and Creston think about buying a house?
Well, our dream house, we thought about our dream house for some time, and we were married 2 years, before we bought a lot on Oregon Street and built our little home. As I said, my mother was ailing, and she had to go to San Francisco for an operation. She was in the hospital 3 weeks and very low. And at that time, we had sent for my husband and my brothers several times. We didn't expect her to live. And I roomed up there near the hospital with an acquaintance of ours because I had little Bobby with me. The day before, my mother was ready to come home in the ambulance, and I was ready to come home. Creston had bought a new used convertible car to surprise me. He was going to come up and pick up Bobby and me. On our way to see his folks in Brown Valley, he met a friend of ours. He asked his friend if he'd like to ride up there with him to see his parents. So Creston knew Brown Valley Road very well. He was raised up there and knew each turn. He could drive it with his eyes closed. A car went to pass him on one of the curves, and they had just put Pacific Electric had just put a pole in on this curve. And as he went to pull his convertible out to let the car pass, he got in the soft dirt and was unable to turn back. And the car turned over and went down the embankment and killed him instantly. Mm-hmm. I said before that this other friend wasn't hurt. He was knocked unconscious. And as soon as he came to, he managed to crawl up the embankment and go for help. Mm-hmm.
Did your mother come back then from the hospital?
My mother was sent, we sent her to Sacramento to stay with my uncle for several months. Mm-hmm. She didn't know anything about Preston's accident for 3 months. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a date of that accident or a death? Yeah, was that
July the 20th, 1928. Mm-hmm.
What did you do then? Did you come back home and live alone?
I came back and I stayed with my brothers. They were at the home place. I stayed with them and kept house for them, running back and forth to Sacramento to see my mother.
Mm-hmm. I see that you remarried later, but how long were you single?
Well, it was almost a year before I dated. I had no interest in men. My friends insisted I go out with others, and so I made a date. She made a blind date for me with Ted Reeves, and there were three of us couples went to Santa Cruz that night to the plunge. I dated others, but I had no interest in them. Ted was the only one I really cared for after that. I soon fell deeply in love with him. He was so good to me and to Bobby and to my mother. I really had to make a new life for little Bobby and me. Ted would send me roses each weekend.
Was he a local boy?
Well, no, he was born in Indiana. He came to Watsonville when he was about 17 years old. He lived with Dr. and Mrs. Herbert at that time.
Oh.
Until we were married. In fact, he still brings me bouquets. He did something that very few men would do. He would bring bouquets for me to take out to the cemetery and take me out to the cemetery for my first husband's grave.
Tell me a little more about Ted, his family.
Well, his mother and dad were divorced very early, when he was about 9 years old. And they came to his mother came to California to be with her folks. He lived there most of the time in Los Angeles, in that area.
Did he have brothers and sisters?
He had one sister. She was about 2 years older than he.
Did you work a little bit after your Preston was killed and before you married Ted?
Yes. When Woolworth first opened the store, I worked in their store for a little while. Then I worked at Montgomery Ward's when they first opened. I worked behind the cosmetic and jewelry counter.
Oh.
Then a little later, I managed the Mokau Ice Cream Parlor.
Oh.
And I worked there for about a few months after we were married.
Where was the Mokau?
It was on Main Street in the 400 block.
When did you and Ted marry? Can you give me a date?
Well, we met on April the 29th, 1929, and we got married on October the 25th, 1930.
Were you married in your home?
Well, neither of us were married. We were interested in a home wedding or a big wedding. So we went to Carson City to be married. Another couple went with us, and the four of us were married in a church in Carson City.
Who was the other couple?
The other couple was my brother and his intended.
Then when you came back, where did you live? In the house that you already had?
Well, we lived with my mother in her house for several months. And then we moved to our Oregon Street home. About that time, I quit work.
Why did you quit work?
Well, Ted wanted me to quit work. And then it wasn't too long before I got pregnant with our baby,
oh.
Gerald Theodore. We called him Jerry. He was born November the 28th, 1931. We were both so happy, and Bobby was so elated to have a little brother. He was 5 years old at the time. Bobby was in the first grade. He entered the first Dimity White School. And several months after he was in school, he got the whooping cough. Well, a short time later, the baby contracted it, and in a few weeks, the whooping cough developed into pneumonia for the baby. Well, God took him home at the age of 7 months, and it was a very sad situation for us. And it wasn't too long that I caught the whooping cough. The only childhood disease I had had was chickenpox. Ted was working at Dr. Herbert's ranch at that time. It was during the Depression, and he didn't want to leave me alone during the day. So Dr. Herbert offered. I went out with him to work. When he left in the mornings, I went with him to work.
You nursed?
Not at that time, no. No, I had the whooping cough, and
oh, I see what you mean.
And yeah. That's why he hated to leave me alone. And then Dr. Herbert offered to rent us a little cottage on the ranch in the Mesa District.
Oh.
It was called Malahia Ranch, which meant abode of the angels.
Is that a Hawaiian word?
That's in Hawaiian word. That's where Dr. and Mrs. Herbert had come from, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Dr. Herbert used to be the head doctor in the Queen's Hospital in Hawaii for years.
Did you keep the house on Oregon Street?
No, we rented it. We rented it to two of our friends, Doris and Everett Mollenhauer. They had just married in Washington and came to California, and they lived there for quite a while.
Did you and Ted have any more children?
Yes, we wanted another baby so badly. I could hardly wait, but Dr. Herbert told me it'd be better if I waited at least 6 months. So God gave us another little baby boy, August the 12th, 1933. We were so very happy. We named him Ronald Theodore and called him Ronnie. Bob was, I can't explain just how happy Bob was to have another baby brother. And he called him Skippy, and that name stuck. All my life, all my babies were born at home or at my mother's house. Now, shortly after Ronnie was about a year old, when Mrs. Herbert passed on, and Dr. Herbert wanted us to move into the big house with him and his son Charles. Ron was 1 year old, as I said, and Bobby attended the Methodist school for several years.
Irma, where on Oregon Street was the house?
Well, our house number was 545 Oregon Street. In fact, we were the only house on that. No, there was one house. Mrs. McKenzie had a house on the corner at that time. And there was a real large house across the street from us on the corner.
Now, is that where you were living when you got the whooping cough?
Yes.
When
yes,
you would go out to Dr. Herbert's ranch?
Yes, we were living on Oregon. That was before we rented the house.
Did you go to a physician for your whooping cough?
Well, I didn't. Of course, Dr. Herbert was more or less a built-in physician for us. But he did call in Dr. Marshall, or consulted Dr. Marshall, in regards to our baby's illness. When he first came down with it, and I suggested giving the baby whooping cough shots. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Herbert said, well, these shots are just coming out now, and they don't know too much about them. He said, let's put it this way, if it was my child, I wouldn't give him the shots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He did recover, so.
No,
that's the baby that died. Tell me a little more about Dr. Herbert's house. First, where was it really located?
It was located on the left side of the Mester Road, about directly across from Manna Avenue. And the driveway that led into the house was across from the Nissen home. And in the front of the house, you can see the big stucco roof from the road. But in front of the house, there were acres of, at that time, bosque pears, excuse me.
Did Mr. Herbert operate a ranch?
Charlie operated the ranch for his father, and Ted was helping him at that time.
Tell me about the inside of Dr. Herbert's house. Was it big?
Oh, it was a big Spanish structure, all on one story. It had five bedrooms and five baths in the house, and a big patio, a real large living room, overlooking a loggia, and a fairly large dining room with a beautiful coal wood set in the dining room, which he gave to Ted and me after he left. And a kitchen with the servant's pantry, a den, and of course each bedroom had a bath. And then there was a living guest house outside with the bath between. It had two bedrooms. And the servant's quarter had a bedroom and a bath. There were 24 tons of tile on the roof.
Did you leave there about the same time that Dr. Herbert did, or did you stay on the ranch?
Yes, we stayed there for a while. Dr. Herbert sold the ranch. No, he remarried after a couple of years and spent most of his time in the islands, although he went back and forth from the ranch to the islands. His daughter was living in the islands. And we had been looking around for a home to buy for some time, but couldn't find anything that we really liked. And when we found our place on Green Valley Road, Ted and I both fell in love with it. And he sold the house about 3 weeks after we had moved from the ranch.
What happened to your Oregon house?
that was rented.
You rented it?
I think I mentioned that we rented that to Doris Neighbor Mollenhauer.
Where did Ron start to attend school?
Well, we moved to town on Rodriguez Street, Rodriguez and 6th Street. I believe that house was owned by the Lucich sisters. And Ron started kindergarten at the Rodriguez School, and that was the Radcliffe School. And his kindergarten teacher was Bunny Crow. She was in love with Ron. He was in love with her. She was darling. She used to come out to see him at the ranch. And we were there for a couple of years. And then we moved back to Malahea at the request of Dr. and Charles on a Nestor Road. And then we started the first and second grade at Casterly School. We bought our place here in Green Valley in 1940, and it was quite a large house, 5.5 acres, and it was part of Rancho Corlitas. We knew Jim Cadill, Dee's father, very well, and he knew this house. He knew this house for years, and he said at that time when we bought it, it was at least 125 years old. It was put together with square nails and hog's hair plaster between the slats. And it's really a well-built house. It stood the 1906 earthquake exceptionally well, and the ones that we've had since. The last earthquake that we had a little disaster.
I'd like to go back to the 1930s, early 1930s. Do you feel that the Depression affected you and your husband?
I think that the Depression affected most people, but I think it affected the rich more than it did the middle class, or the ones that didn't have quite as much, because so many of them lost stock and various things. It seems odd to say it, but I think the Depression days were some of our happiest days.
Did you know anyone that was really affected?
Not particularly.
By the Depression?
We knew several people that had lost quite a lot, but they made the best of it. But it was fun raising our own vegetables, and we had our pigs and our chickens and turkeys and different things at the ranch, and we used to go out hunting, my husband and Bobby and I, in the evening and hunt cottontail, or if it was dove season, we'd hunt doves.
Now, is this the Coralita's place that you're talking
this
about?
This was in the nest of Dr. Herbert's.
Oh, this was in Dr. Herbert's place.
He had a real large apple orchard behind the house. The house sat up on the hill, and there was a beautiful walkway down to the barnyard.
Did anyone live with you in that big house?
Yes. Oh, in the big house?
Dr. Herbert.
Well, before we moved to the big house, it was during the Depression, and Ted's mother and dad lived with us for 6 months. And my mother had to give up housekeeping, so she was with us also. And
Did you all live together and cook together as
yes.
one family? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We cooked on a little two-burner gasoline stove, and heated with a little, I believe it was a three-burner, because we couldn't get the third burner to work all the time. And we heated the house with a little wood stove.
Was it a hard house to heat, being big?
No, but there's low ceilings, and it was an easy house to heat. It was a very comfortable place. All our friends used to come out there, because none of them had children at the time, and they'd come out in the evening, and we'd play games. Different types of card games. We didn't gamble.
Oh.
Although we did play with chips.
When did you leave Dr. Herbert's property and go to your own home?
That was in 1940, as I stated, when we bought this That's house right. here. Yeah. And then Ron attended the Green Valley School. Let's see.
When you were at Dr. Herbert's, did Bob start school at MSD?
Yes. He went to Minnie White for the first grade, and then when we moved to Dr. Herbert's cottage, he attended the MSD school. He skipped the second grade and went into the third, and then attended the fourth grade there. Then from there, we moved back to town on Rodriguez Street, which I had mentioned. And he went to the Rodriguez Street School for the fifth and sixth grades. And that was when Ron started kindergarten.
That's when Ron started mm-hmm. kindergarten. Mm-hmm.
Then we moved back to Malahia again. But at that time, Bob was in the seventh grade, So I believe it was the seventh. So he finished the seventh and eighth grade at the E.A. Hall School in town. That's where he graduated. Yeah, elementary.
And what did Ron do? Continue school?
Ron went to the Methodist school the first and second grades. And then we moved over here to Green Valley. He started the third, from the third to the eighth grade, he went to the Green Valley school. Some of his teachers were Florence Daly. She was the principal. And Mrs. Peggy Arias, and Mrs. Arthur, and Mrs. Bradley. Although they only had two teachers at a time. They also had a music teacher that came from Santa Cruz once a week and taught them music. Ron and our nephew that was with us, which I'll tell you about later, played the trumpet. And one day, they used to like to take their lunch to school. So one day, Ron had forgotten his lunch. Ted and I were on our way to town, so we dropped the lunch off at the school. I knocked at the door, and they were practicing. They were having band practice. I knocked again, and nobody answered. So I opened the door just in time to see one of the teachers. She had hold of Ron by his hair, and she was giving him a good shaking. When she saw me, she turned so red. I went out to the car laughing. My husband wanted to know what was so funny. I guess he deserved it. Ron's class was the last class to graduate from the Green Valley School. And then from there, he went on to high school and graduated from high school. And then he went on to Harknell College in Salinas, and he drove the Harknell bus back and forth from Watsonville to Salinas.
Did he keep the bus out here where he lived?
Yes, he kept it out here in the front of the yard.
Did anyone live here with you in the house in Green Valley besides your two boys?
Oh, yes. As I said, we bought this home in 1940. And in April of 1941, we took our three nephews in with us.
Who are they? Who are these nephews?
They were my brother's three children. He and his wife separated, and they had no place. No one else to take care for them.
Can you tell me the names of the three?
There was Lloyd, Jim, and Ralph Oakson. And we thought at the time, and so did their daddy, that their mother would come back. But she never did. And so they lived with us. The three of them were with us for 4 years. Then they attended the Green Valley School. And then my brother remarried, and they took the two younger ones to live with them. Lloyd cried. He wanted to stay here. He was such a pal to Mike and Ron. So we raised him until he was 21, until he got married. And then getting back to the early years, in December the 7th, 41 at Pearl Harbor, and that's when... we were fighting on two fronts in Europe and in the Pacific. And would you like me to tell you about the school drill, Green Valley school drill?
Sure.
Well, during the war years, they would march the children down here to our house because it was a large house and practice bombing drills. And the children would lie on the floor in our living room and in our big hall in the front, and in order, in case of a bombing, where they know just what to do. But they couldn't get in the house. They marched across the street in the apple orchard and made them lie down under the apple trees. However, we also had an armor that Dr. Herbert had gotten from his ancestors that was collected on the River Nile in the 1700s. And Dr. Herbert, at his age, wasn't interested. And Ted was so enthused about that armor and liked it so well, so he gave that armor to Ted when he sold the house. And we had that in our possession for years. And the teachers used to march their children down here it was an armor that was used during the Crusades. And the teachers used to march their children down here to see what type of armor they wore during the Crusades. That was when they were studying the Crusades. And unfortunately, our place was burglarized in 1972, and that was one of the many things they took.
Oh, that's so great.